Companies make their debuts in a whole lot of different ways, but few are introduced to the business world by a foul-mouthed toddler with a drinking problem.
Hi, Pearl.
What's happened?
You don't have to raise your voice.
Back in 2000, a video of film director Adam McKay's daughter Pearl demanding rent from actor Will Ferrell became one of the most popular viral videos of all time, and it loudly announced the arrival of a new player in media, funny or die. It was one of the first multi-channel networks, a category of video production companies that creates online content, television content, and even branded content as well. They've changed the landscape in a significant way, and all the big guys now, traditional media companies, are scrambling to figure out how they can keep up and, more importantly, get in on the action. The other day, I went over to Hollywood to check out Funny or Die's operations at a studio called The Lot, and to meet the two guys who took over from Adam McKay and Will Ferrell and now run things day to day. That's CEO Dick Glover and President of Production Mike Farah.
Kai Rizdal, nice
the first thing
you.
I noticed when I got there was that the office kind of
nice
looks like it's
you.
Still
Thanks
under construction. Particle board desks,
that.
Cement floors, open framed walls. So I asked him to show me around.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Do me a favor and give me the dime tour. Show me how things work around here.
Sure.
This is the floor. That's a ceiling.
There we go. That's
a
big television set.
That's a giant.
I don't know if Glover and I have ever done a tour together. I don't know about our chemistry.
Maybe you guys are the wrong ones to show me around.
Can we, just one moment, can we ask Kai what his opinion of
the
unfinished
walls?
So I was looking at these
before. Be careful.
Right.
You could take an eye out.
Well, I couldn't decide if I liked it or if I thought you guys just weren't done. And
well,
I think you've decided you like it because it's all over the place.
That's right. It was
yeah.
There was, of course, a story behind it which he had to bring up, which was when we were doing this, I said to the architects who were working on it, I said, look, this is a creative spot and we're not fancy. If you know, we're just really kind of simple and basic. We don't want to lose that. That's what sort of drives the creativity. And he sent, I think as a joke, a picture to my assistant of a guy with a desk on like a milk crate and this kind of wall behind it. He said, this must be what Dick is looking for.
Right.
And I said, exactly. That's
and
it.
And here you are.
And here we are.
Yeah. All right.
I was looking for the
plasterboard.
One of our partners who is a comedian came and said, this is a joke, right? You're like not finished. I said, no.
Yeah, we're pretty much done.
Basically, it's set up as a creative space because this is where the people who create things hang out, with the exception of me. As you can see, everything is modular, so it can all come out. They can literally shoot.
Everything makes total sense.
Studio. Down the side is marketing and me and accounting and finance. Then down the other side in the far corner is all of TV for all the TV work.
Yeah. Dick Glover, I want to talk about the business versus creativity thing. You have said... this company is all about the creative. It's all about the talent, and the business is here to support that. What does that mean?
That means exactly what it says, that we live by the mantra, the creative drives the deal, not the deal drives the creative. That, have I said that 5,000 times? We make what we hope is funny, great product, period. Whether that product is a web product, a mobile product, a TV product, and we will sink or swim on how good that is.
Dick Glover, you're a conventional sort of content guy, right? You had a long experience in this business. Well, it wasn't pejorative. ESPN and a bunch of other places. You had, Mike Farah, a completely different trajectory.
Yeah. I moved out here from Michigan 13 years ago. It was a grassroots thing. My first job was working security at movie premieres. And I guess I've just always, I still can't believe I get paid to work in Hollywood and do these things. Now, that still means I negotiate thoroughly with Dick Glover about my various employment agreements. But I guess I just love it. I don't really work any harder now than when I was an unpaid intern. Even the unpaid internship I was fired from.
You are the president of production.
Yes.
Which, and ambassador of style. Which
lifestyle.
I'm gonna guess, lifestyle.
Come on, Kai.
What do you do? What does president of production do here?
That's a good question. What do you think I do, Dick?
I don't know. I'm always struck by, as the company's grown, how little I know what anybody does.
Right.
Isn't that what happens?
I'm
listening intently.
What do I do?
Here's why I ask. You guys move really fast. I mean, I've read stories about stuff going from an idea to on the web in like 3 days.
Or
if not
less.
Right. So how do you do that?
I love working with comedians. I love creative ideas, and I love getting things done really quickly. So much of Hollywood is just a waste of time and inefficient, and I think what we give to the creative community and the talent community is an ability to get a ton of stuff that they're excited about done quickly, well, and seen by a lot of people. So that was really the value proposition that we started with and really kind of continue. And now it's been great because we've just grown organically to have that include branded entertainment, commercials, TV, live events. Speaking of DC, we just opened up an office in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. that's kind of leveraging all the stuff that we've done in the political world. So I love hearing ideas that I know we and I can sell and then putting people in a position to do that as well and as quickly as possible. And that's why we never want to become like everyone else. Like, so we want to grow, but we kind of want to have our cake and eat it too, because becoming like everyone else would just be a waste of everyone's time.
All that stuff you guys are doing, though, Dick Glover, you guys tried that 7-8 years ago, and you wound up shutting a lot of it down as the recession crunched things, right?
No, that was different. That was
different branded
different
channels, I guess.
Kinds of content. Yeah. That basically what happened was when the company was founded, and had this early success, it was, whoa, we've got this great model. The model is what's brilliant. Marry up professional level people with user-generated content, engage the pros through an equity arrangement as opposed to work for hire,
right.
And then off you go. And we said, that's it. So we're going to repeat that model 20 times. And we actually did launch the Shredder Die with Tony Hawk, Eat, Drink, or Die with Tom Colicchio. We had a kind of great American.
Let's just remember that great title, Eat, Drink, or Die with Tom Colicchio.
Yeah, that's right.
How did that not work?
Actually, those were doing fine. The other things were doing fine. But then the recession hit in 2008. The famous Sequoia Capital, rest in peace, good times, mm-hmm. business
they're,
presentation.
A funder of yours, yeah.
Yep, and which I sat through and felt like I wanted to throw up and, you know,
literally the slide was rest in peace, good times?
That was the beginning of the presentation, rest in peace. And they went through how awful the crisis really was from a macroeconomic level. And then more specifically, what's it mean for a venture-funded company? And basically what it meant was you'll never see another penny, that you had better have a realistic path to profitability, and you better have some competitive advantage. So we looked at it and we said, wow, it isn't the model that's made us great. It's the people, and especially comedy. That's what we know. That's what we do well. That's what's really working. So Shred or Die, we gave back to Tony Hawk, which he continues to this day, does his YouTube channel. That and it was doing well then. It's doing well now. That Eat, Drink, or Die, you know, we did shut down. The others we shut down. So we ended up taking about, I'd say, almost 40% of the cost out of the company, but yet we're actually spending more money and more resources on Funny or Die than we had before that, and since then it's literally been up and to the right.
So what are you guys now? Are you an advertising company? Are you a web company? Are you a tech company? Are you a public relations firm?
Yes.
Mike Farrer, you're smiling a little bit. Smirking, perhaps.
I am smiling. Because
we're all of the above.
Yeah. I don't know if everyone would consider that. We're all internally, we think we're all of the above, and I think we work very hard to every day to convince people that that is accurate. And I think the more projects we have and the different ways that we're kind of approaching things, people do see us as not just a production company. They don't see it just as a website. They don't see us as just a social media company. They see all of these things working together in a way that I think is very unique and is ahead of a lot of the curves. So then we just try and leverage those things that we've built up to do new things with them, but still, to his point, you know, stay true to what got us here and really that comedy core. Because it's got to be funny, it's got to be great, it's got to, you know, whether it's like the highest people, you know, doing it, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, right, or that next generation, you know, it's servicing talent. As much as fads and platforms and different things change, you can always bet on talent. So we want to keep our focus on that. And then, you know, be able to take advantage of different trends and as the world changes to take those talented people into places that, you know, they can get their voice heard.
How long have you guys been in this space?
A year and a half.
Let me ask some nuts and bolts questions. How many people, plus or minus?
For the whole company or in this office?
No, whole company.
Whole company, about 140.
Jesus.
So
there you go.
But anyway, then you get, again, as you go down the aisles, various creative functions, yep. producers, and then you get into writer directors, sort of as you work your way down.
What's nice is that even though we're obviously such a digital studio, yeah. it's actually a throwback to the old Hollywood system where everyone was under the same roof. Like,
yeah. Right, and also you got the editors, more writers, the last office on the corner, the creative director.
And I think having everyone so close is just why we're able to make so much stuff.
Right.
Like, it's just a constant intersection of creative production, marketing, business affairs. All the tenants of any studio are really here.
Yeah.
But I think we like to pride ourselves on moving much faster than traditional setups.
Wait, I have to go see the horse.
All right.
That freaking
most
Mr.
offices
Ed
have a horse.
No, mine does not.
Really?
My office does not have a horse.
That is a gift from Melissa McCarthy and her husband Ben Falcone,
who's
a writer director to Gary Sanchez Productions. It was her Christmas gift last Christmas, and it
I don't
is
even
great.
Know what
it's,
to say.
It's a fine looking horse.
It's a conversation piece.
Yeah, it's made its way into at least 5 or 6 videos.
Absolutely.
Because how do you not?
Yeah,
but I love the idea that you guys actually shoot here. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, and you can see, I mean, these people who are working on shows, you can move all this stuff out and shoot. If we went downstairs, there's an actual studio
with
a big green screen and all. There's a sound room.
That,
in fact,
that almost sounds too grown up.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's an evolution.
You're right.
The very first green screen that we had was in a shed over on Whitley behind
first
office. Then on La Brea, we graduated to a converted garage. Right. Then on Seward, we basically had an area like this kind of meant for cubicles that we turned into a studio. And then downstairs, now we finally have like a proper studio. You can't shoot everything there, but we get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah. So that's 4 spaces in 8 years, right? Plus or minus?
Roughly.
Almost, not quite 8.
Are you done moving around? Are you here for a while, you think?
Well, you say that every time. And as I say, we moved a year and a half, and we thought we had more space and we'd never know what to do with. And you feel it. Creeping in.
But that
on
is
you.
One great thing that
but the goal is to be done.
That the horse represents, if I may.
And other lines never said in a marketplace interview.
Every time we've moved, Gary Sanchez Productions, which is Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, and Chris Henchy's production company, has been in the same building with us. And I think that's just a great indication of still how much 8 years later they're still really involved in what we do. So it's great. You know, because they have their business and we have ours. There is a lot of overlap, but it's just their presence and the people that come and see us and see them. Like, out of this 1.5 floors, I think there's just tons and tons of comedy getting made.
How often do you guys see or talk to those three, Adam and Will and Chris?
All the time. That it depends on what they're doing. Like, if they're off doing a movie, it'll be a lot less. Like, Adam just got back from New Orleans, where he was for several months.
Right.
And when he was down in New Orleans doing the movie, we did not talk to
him
that often. Since he's been back, we can't get rid of him.
And
Will is the
it
same.
Depends on the project. We produced Ferrell Takes the Field. In March, Will played baseball for 10 teams in one day. So we Funny or Die produced that. Right. We're producing the Chris Gethard Show that Chris and Will and McKay are EPing. So there's just constant projects that they're a part of that we're also a part of. So then you get into the granular stuff just about that project. And then we also, you know, Glove, myself, Andrew Steele, always are talking to them just about the macro things that are going on here.
As we look at the creative, is really set. The tone is completely set by Will and Adam and then channeled in many ways to the rest of the staff.
Does the business model work for you guys if you have a smattering of success on many levels and then one ginormous thing like Obama between two ferns?
No, it isn't predicated on those spikes of a piece of content at all. You know, again, we love having those and try, but what it really is a basic core business that we have an audience, whether it's through the social media, whether it's through the whole app strategy that we got, whether it's through the website, whether it's through television shows. And, adding up all of those bricks, you end up with a nice house.
But I would say the value of those huge viral videos is that it keeps us just top of mind.
Front and center.
Yeah, because not everyone.
That was the thing for a good number of days and weeks.
Yeah, and I do think we really believe that the right short comedic content, really any comedic content, can really change people's minds and their mindset about things. So those huge hits. I mean, everyone's in a hit. Like, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Yeah. Hits are important. But it's then leveraging those things and taking those hits and showing how we can do those things for lots of different groups. And maybe they're not as big as, you know, the health, you know, the between two firms with Obama and driving that type of engagement and traffic. But thematically, you know, we're able to do a lot of things that other people aren't able to do.
Are you guys still a startup? Do you have a startup mentality?
Mentality, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That, again, work hard, play hard, do well, and take the business very seriously. That while what we do isn't very serious, it's comedy, it's funny, but we do take the business very seriously. We also take incredible pride in what we do and feel there's a certain level of quality about it, whether it's a piece of content or it's a deal or it's some relationship. I would be very concerned if we ever lost that sense that, hey, we're a startup. And that's what I learned at ESPN. ESPN, as it became this huge, huge company, I mean, huge company, never lost the sense that it's a sports fan. So we want the same thing. We want to make sure that this culture does not change as hopefully we continue to get bigger and bigger.
I'll add just one quick thing. You have to work that hard because so much of what we're doing is brand new to people. And doing things that are new and original always takes longer than doing things that are expected and are just following suit of something else. So for me, and I know Glove and a lot of the people that we work with day to day, we love what's that new thing that we can be doing that no one else is doing with our content. You know, and we can get into specifics if you want or maybe not, but it's more just like that takes...
Or maybe not.
That takes a long time. People don't want new things.
But it is just... Well, as we mentioned, you mentioned you were just down in Washington. We opened a Washington bureau.
Yeah.
Which
think about that. How official does that sound?
It's fantastic.
He just kept on calling it that, and now it's taken off.
God. You're like a news organization.
It is,
now.
But it is the official corporate. We had to incorporate. Whatever, and it is incorporated as the DC bureau. That's the name of the company. But to go in, and that's a whole new place, and to say to whether it's a lobbyist or a public interest group or whomever, here's something that we can do. Here's a different way to look at getting your message out to people who you want to reach. And ultimately, you mentioned the Obama video. We're not, when we talk about it, we don't go, oh my God, it's so cool, the president. While that was very cool.
That's the way I talk about it.
What we really are proud of is it actually worked.
Yeah.
And that, to us, is even more exciting. Yep, it's phenomenal we did it, but that it works.
But as soon as you say, ooh, it worked, it got healthcare enrollment up, there's a whole slice of the listening public to this program and to a lot of your stuff that's going to go, oh man, I don't want to get into that political thing. You guys are on the other side. You all right with that?
Is it a question of Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal? It is a question, like, again, on healthcare. We're not saying, hey, we're pro-Obama, anti-Obama, pro-something else. We're saying here is something you should know about if you're a young person in America. And again, you know, we make a joke about it and say that, you know, by and large, Republicans tend to have less of a sense of humor, but we're open for business with anybody.
What's the biggest failure you guys have had so far? Don't everybody speak at once.
Wow.
You've asked. I don't know.
Oh, come on. You're both full of it. Get out of here.
I guess I've got one, because you got to have one that we've always thought would be a great opportunity to leverage what we do well with a low-cost feature-length project. Now, we did the iSteve movie, which was very successful. We have not, to this date, found the right piece of content to follow up and do
it's
that
It's a long
again.
Form, basically, right? A little tricky?
So again, that's only temporary.
You're going to figure it out?
We will definitely figure that out and have that
pretty
soon.
Joe Farrell, who heads up our TV development, just asked me if I had any regrets working at Funny or Die, and I drove him crazy because I couldn't name one. And that's like, I don't mean to sound arrogant or an idiot, but like everything that we're doing here, even if something doesn't work, you're going to learn something from it that's going to make that next thing that much better and easier to get done. So, I mean, and I've messed up a lot. Like, I cost us $600,000 on a movie that didn't happen.
Really?
Yeah, but what can you do? You just move on. You smooth it over with Glover.
And
now
he's still here. You let him keep working here? Wow.
I encourage it.
Wow.
Getting back to your question of do we look at ourselves as still a startup, one of the characteristics of startups versus traditional companies is they are not risk averse. and that we are certainly not risk averse. Now, I don't consider, that's why when you ask the question, gee, you know, name a failure, I don't think of, like, that didn't even come to mind as a failure, because a lot actually came out of it that was very positive. And we're not afraid to fail. You know, we do tons of videos that people don't like. In fact, one of our selling points to the A-list talent is you might be unbelievably successful, do one movie that totally bombs, and suddenly start reading the stories about, you know, have you lost your
career's
mojo?
Over.
With us, if you do it, and it's some crazy idea, and it doesn't work, who cares? It's a, you know, cruddy little Funny or Die video. But if it works, it gets as much attention as any hit you've done. And so it's a great environment to take chances, which is almost the total antithesis of what you face in your day-to-day
life. We did
life.
This video with Dennis Quaid earlier this year. Yeah. That went very well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is the one where he's yelling at the kid off camera, whatever. Yeah.
And I had nothing to do with it.
Which I thought was real for a minute or two.
Yeah, a lot of people did. I had nothing to do with it. Some young producers, Dan Bernstein and others, kind of put that together. But WME, his agency, called me and said in all their years of representing, you know, any actor, they had never seen one piece of content change a conversation about an actor's career so quickly as that Dennis Quaid piece.
I believe that.
And that's great. So we're always are looking for win-wins no matter what type of, you know, business we're in or what the piece of content is.
Who's your competition? And who are you sort of aligned with, I guess, is the question.
Clearly, the competition, we're in the entertainment space, and so you're just constantly trying to get people's time, of which they don't have much. We're in the social media space, so you're trying to get their attention there, again, of which people flit in and out and all of that. And we're in the basic kind of traditional media space, creating TV. So in every one of those, you could argue those people are all our competitors, but in the same token, they're all our partners in things. So is Facebook a competitor or a partner? Is Snapchat a competitor or a partner? You know, both.
Yeah.
Is Comedy Central, HBO, people who we do a lot of business with, but yet you could argue we compete with on the same, you know, kind of time frame. The way we look at it is we do what we do. And that we don't, it isn't like, oh my God, somebody did that, we need to react. It's much more, we need to be proactive doing what we're doing, and then the chips will fall where they may.
Do you guys pay a lot of attention to what else is going on out there? I mean, do you say, ooh, that was a great idea, we should have done that? Spend a lot of time doing
that? I don't know if we say we should have done it, but we certainly pay a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, comedically, you're just more like, oh, you know, we've known Amy Schumer was really funny.
Yeah.
For a long time. A lot of people in the comedy community have known she was really funny.
The rest of us are like, who?
Yeah.
Until a year and a half ago, right?
We just produced the HBO special of Tig Notaro, who's an amazing comedian that I actually met in 2008 through Sarah Silverman. So the comedy community has always known Tig was very funny, but then something, obviously she had a, you know, she had this health issue that she got through. Her mother passed away unexpectedly. She had these terrible things happen to her that then informed her comedy. That kind of took it out to a larger audience, but still not most people know who she is from this HBO thing. So you always want to have an idea of the talent that you want to be working with. But I think our creative team does a great job. We kind of found our niche, you know, like Jimmy Fallon does his thing, you know, Conan does his thing, we do our thing. So it's not as much like seeing what other people are doing and trying to react, but like what's the best version of what we can do about this thing with the coolest people that, you know, hopefully no one else is doing.
And what tools are available that might not have been available 6 months ago that like, for instance, we do a show on Snapchat Discover that gets hundreds of thousands of people watching it every week. A year ago, what? A show on Snapchat that, you know, makes no sense, but having to pay attention and having people in the world, we're here in the, you know, heart of really the comedy community, that the guys up in San Gals, up in San Mateo, are in the heart of the social media technology software community. You keep abreast because that provides opportunities to do what we do. Because remember, going back to the very first question, what we do is create great content. And then we want the most number of people to experience it, enjoy it, et cetera. So you got to know a lot more than just how to create great content.
I imagine that people come knocking on your door all the time wanting to buy you with a whole lot of money.
Oh, gosh, I wish that were true.
Oh, come on.
I don't wish that was true.
The answer is yes and no. People did come knocking on our door. Because they came knocking on our door, and it was so far out of my comfort zone of what I know I'm good at, we actually did hire people who do that for a living to look and figure out, is there some sort of strategic alliance that could take what we consider this great little company and make it a great big company faster. Went through that process, ended up deciding, nope, we're not going to do anything, you know, just stay the course. And it was fascinating to me in that there was some part of the company that was incredibly disappointed that that was the conclusion. There was some part of the company was incredibly relieved that was the...
I'd probably fall on the latter.
Because we do kind of straddle these two different worlds, that the Silicon Valley world, which is one of the reasons we're a huge leader in social media and all this stuff coming out of there, is always focused on this kind of exit strategy. The creative community, the Hollywood world, also our New York editorial work, is much more focused on the environment to be able to do what we do. And so we're constantly balancing this sort of yin and yang of, hey, maintaining this sort of culture, but also trying to add value as a company.
Yeah. I will say, just to add to that, as we've grown and as the whole media landscape has grown, and obviously everything's changing. It's never changed as more quickly as it is now. We are like a nice small company, and if we want to become a much bigger company, I think there is going to be some of those moments where we do have to kind of do that gut check and remember what kind of got us there, because there is a lot of money on the table. There's tons of opportunity. There's a different over-the-top platform basically announced every week at this point. Everyone's looking for original premium content, of which for the last 8 years we've done, you know, relatively well. So it is interesting. As these things come together, I think it's going to be up to – I'm really counting on you, Dick Glover, to make sure that you don't forget your magical words over the last seven years and keep us on the straight and narrow.
It's just a matter of time until we sell out.
Well, and you know what? We're going to get there.
I just feel everything, as we've said, so much is changing. Like, why – let's just – be selfish. Let's just focus on ourselves and do the best that we can do within this environment, and all those things will work out when they need to. But right now, we just have too much momentum going. I wouldn't want to slow it down for anything.
Dick Glover, Mike Farah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Funny or Die CEO Dick Glover and President of Production Mike Farah. Turns out, by the way, that Funny or Die isn't just their name. It's pretty much their business plan, too, and the key to their success. If you're curious what the unfinished office looks like, by the way, we've got a video up of our visit on our website, marketplace.org. And with that, thanks a lot for listening to the Corner Office Podcast. You can check out our radio show called Marketplace every weekday on a public radio station near you. We'll see you next time. This is APM.